Haberi. Jumbo. Okay, there's one in here that's nodding his head. He says, yeah, I know what that means. Hello, welcome in Swahili. I hope that the elders did get you the paperwork for the exam we'll have this evening. Raise your hand if you got the paperwork. Oh, this may be tough for most of you. But we're gonna talk about the trip to Kenya, and I want you to know that as we're going through this, this is not my trip. Yes, I was there, but I was sent by you to go and to do the work. And it's the Lord's work, and you are doing that work just as much as me being there and doing the work as well. So I want you to see it as your trip. I want you to see it as the work that you're helping to do that God is accomplishing there. So we are going to take an exam today. I'm sorry you didn't get the study for the exam, but that's just going to be the way it is. So Mungu, we find that is God in Swahili. Yesu is Jesus. Jumbo, which I said a moment ago, is welcome. And Haberi is hello. Kaka is brother. Asante is thank you. Karibu is you're welcome. Sana is much. So if someone give me something, I would say Asante sana, which would be thank you very much. And they would say Karibu sana, and that would be you're welcome very much. So I didn't see any hands or anything like that, so I'm guessing you need a little extra credit here on this exam. So we're going to try again. Mzungu, white man. Wazungu, which would be white men or the plurality of white people. Rafiki, has anybody other than one, okay, Dan, you're not allowed to answer any of these questions. Rafiki, that has to ring a bell somewhere along the line. Has anybody watched The Lion King? Carson's grinning from ear to ear. It's okay, Carson. That's the monkey on The Lion King. His name is Rafiki, and that's friend. So he's a friend to all of them, and his name is Rafiki. So safari is travels, and njama is safe or good. So if you were bidding somebody off, you'd say safari njama. And you're bidding them to have a safe trip. So we want to know where Kenya is. Where did you send me to do this work? And we see that Kenya is in Africa. And right here is Lake Victoria. So Kenya is right beside of that. That's just zoomed in just a little bit. You see Kenya right here. Just to the west of Kenya is Uganda. And it's south of Ethiopia. And north of Tanzania and west of Somalia. So as we zoom just a little bit more, you see this is Lake Victoria right here. And the main airport for the whole country is in Nairobi. So anybody that flies into Kenya generally flies into Nairobi. And then depending on where you're going to work, what we do is mainly in Kisumu. So we land there at Nairobi and then fly over to Kisumu. This time we had to spend the night. We tried to work it out with Kenya Airways that has a flight that flies out of JFK, but they canceled not at the last minute, but fairly late. That didn't work out for us very well. So we'll not even try that again. But flying from Nairobi to Kisumu is only about a half hour flight. So, down here in front of me, on the table, you'll see that there's a map, and all of these places are not all, of course, all of the churches, but these are churches that I'm familiar with, that I'm working with, that I'm doing something with, and to enable me to be efficient in visiting different congregations, I assembled this map, and I put a number on the map of what the congregation is, and if you want to come and look at any of this stuff after services, that's fine. But there's a map here, and then beside of it is a list of all of those congregations or points of interest. There's an airport on there is listed, and a couple other things, and the hotel is listed on there where we stay. But all those things are listed on the map. You can look at the map and locate those. A couple points of interest When I talk about Chiwele, that's up here. That's number three on my list. Not in any numerical order for any importance or anything like that. But number three on the list up here is Chiwele. So that's as far north as I went this time. Matter of fact, that's as far north as I've ever been. And you'll find this is as far south as I went this time. And of course, that's as far south as I've ever been in the country as well. So you find Chiwele up here, and you'll find Rigingine and Laita, and there's another Wayera down there. One of them's not labeled, but I was supposedly the first missionary to go to the Wayera Church of Christ, and I have a picture of that building that I'll show you in just a few moments. So let's talk about COVID, because I'm sure you have questions about COVID and what COVID is like there. So we asked everybody, you know, that we came in contact with, what's COVID like? You know, what kind of effects are you seeing from COVID? And they said, it's bad. Okay, it's bad. How many people do you know that's had COVID? Well, I don't know of anybody. Okay. Well, we only found about 5 confirmed cases up until the point that we were there. Now, there are some things that, you know, we ask ourselves, why is that? Why is it that we've not found, you know, that many confirmed cases of that? And maybe it's because of the rural area. The rural area, you know, may play into that. They're not the cleanest, but they do have a customary hand washing. You know, anytime you go anywhere to eat, you're washing your hands because that's just customary for them to do. Maybe that has something to do with it. But maybe vitamin D. There's some studies out there, and I'm not a doctor, and I've not studied this, but some people say that vitamin D helps, and that sunshine brings that vitamin D, and that could be why they don't see so many cases. But then after we left, the city of Nakuru went under lockdown because of COVID. So I really don't know a whole lot more about it than I, you know, now that I did when I was there, other than just the people we talked to couldn't really point out and say, this person or this person or this person over here had COVID. Only about 5 cases, but all the people we talked to. So everybody wants to know, well, what do you eat while you're there? So this is very, very common food that you'll find. These are Mendozas. They're kind of like a donut, but they don't have a hole in the center. They're not as sweet, but yet they're still a little bit sweet. And they're good. I would prefer that over a sugary donut anytime. I enjoy them. These are ground nuts. They're kind of like peanuts. They just have a little different flavor. I'm not sure exactly how they grow. You see a box of tea right there and some real cane sugar. That's very, very common snack or refreshment is what they call it. If you go visit a congregation, they're going to say, we want you to leave refreshed. We want to refresh you while you're here. Because of the effort that you've put forth to come, they want to give you something and do something for you. So just a quick funny story, not at this location, but at another, at Wayera. I was, you know, the farthest that I traveled while I was there. And they don't have, most of them don't have refrigeration, but they want to give you their best, okay? So the guy that I had driving for me, his name's Edward, he got a Coke, and I got a Sprite. And they didn't have enough to go around, but they wanted us to have those sodas. So I had a banana and a Sprite. And I would encourage you, if you'd like to know what it's like to, I could tell by the way Edward was drinking his Coke that we needed to drink all of this product. I didn't want to leave any in the bottle because they're giving it to me. It's their best, and they're giving it to me, and it would be awful, and it would offend them, I'm sure, very much if I was to say, you know, I just don't want the rest of this bottle of Sprite. But Edward, I don't know how, I've never seen anybody drink a Coke that fast, let alone one that was 95 degrees. I would, if you'd like to know what that's like, get a warm banana and a warm Sprite and try to eat and drink that as quickly as possible. And I did it, and it's a very, you take a bite of that banana and you think you're going to wash it down with a Sprite, and it just expands in your mouth like spray foam. And but anyway, that's just an interesting story. The bananas are good. They're fresh. This is chapati, which is kind of like a tortilla, but the women make it. They do an excellent job at it. It's good. They don't really know what guacamole is very much, but it's, if you tell them how to make it, the fresh avocados are very good. This is at the Kenya Christian Youth Camp. This is them cooking the lunch for the kids that are there. Their camp wasn't going on, but they have the church building there, and they have a school there. And that's how they feed all of those people that are there at camp and during school. They have these big, I would call it a vat. It has a fire underneath of it, and they cook beans for them. So this was a lunch at a preacher's house. I went and visited at this congregation. And I don't know if Dan likes chicken beak, but I got the leg. Being the guest of the house, you get to choose first what you want most of the time. So you're able to get the leg, and yeah, there's a beak in there. And John's wife really likes the feet. She can have them. I'm not offended by that at all. So that would just be a customary lunch for them. So just kind of a more expanded picture of that. You really can't see the beak in there, but if you look at the actual picture on my screen, you can. So this would be just a breakfast at the hotel. I'm going to try to move a little faster. That's a fish out of Lake Victoria Friday evening. After we're done packing everything up, we go out and kind of have like a farewell dinner, and we sit down and had that dinner. So General Kenya, the general work of Kenya and things like that. And the reason, one of the reasons, and not to get sidetracked here, one of the reasons I brought all this stuff up here is because I want you to know not just what we did there, but I want you to get a little better understanding of the people there. The things, like the baskets, are handmade by a fellow by the name of Jonathan. And he is handicapped from the waist down. He's not able to extend his legs down at all. He walks on his hands and props himself up, moves forward, and continues on. That's how he makes his living. He makes those baskets. So those are authentic Kenyan baskets. I brought several of those home, and the hats were made there. The frying pan was something I bought at the market day there in Luanda, and the bag is like a grocery bag that you would take, that the ladies would take and transport things in. Also, if you pick up the basket and look at it, it's indented on the bottom. That's so they can carry it on their head. That's how they transport things. Even younger people will put, if they're old enough to carry a gallon of water, then mama's carrying a 5-gallon bucket of water on her head, and little Johnny has a gallon jug maybe of water on their head, and that's how they survive. We don't really know how that is to I won't say we don't know how it is to work, but work in that way, that our children have to do whatever they can to support the family as well. So those are some things that I brought just to kind of help you understand the people there and understand that aspect of it. So these three that you see here, of course, are the one on the left is myself. The one in the middle is a fellow by the name of Mike Rowand. He is an elder from the Charlotte Avenue congregation. And the eldership there had a lot to do with the Kenya School of Preaching. They joined up. They wanted to have a preaching school in Kenya. Bear Valley Institute in Colorado said, yes, we'd like to do that as well. They joined together, and they put that school there. There are several schools around the world because of Bear Valley Bible Institute. Oh, I missed him. He's the chief of our team, and they're not necessarily together as a team. So normally it's, I'm sure you've heard the name Peter Ray Cole. Peter Ray Cole and myself and Heather Yoho, and there are some others that went along the way. It just kind of depends on how people's schedules are and how things are going, of who can join and who can't. But that's Mike Reese from Fairmont. Him and his family have been involved in it for years, and what I do is done through him. Just because we don't want to double up on any work. We don't want someone asking for something and maybe asking him for something, and then they would ask me for something and end up getting twice what they should be getting. It can't happen. It's just the church there and the people there are not any different than they are here. There are people in the world that will take advantage of the church. They'll do it here. They'll do it there. We're very cautious. And to tell you it'll never happen is not true. It could happen, just like it could here. But we take every ounce of effort that we can, that we can put forth to make sure that every dollar that is used there is used wisely and put into good hands. But that's the reason that whatever work I do, I confer with Mike and make sure that everything is okay, and then we proceed from there. So Mike Rohan has in his hands right here a drive and a projector from World Video Bible School. Everything, if you're not familiar with World Video Bible School, you need to be. Go on their website, wvbs.com or .org. I don't know for sure. But at any rate, go on their website and look at all the material, all the free videos and material that you can watch weeks worth of. They now have. Right there on those drives, I think there's three of those, and I don't know what the size of those are, but you're talking a drive. You know, you can take a thumb drive, and it can be 256 gig or 512 gig. Just a small drive can hold a whole bunch of information. I don't know how much information you can put on a drive that's almost as big as what this Bible is. There's a lot of information, a lot of videos that they can take out. This is a battery-powered unit. They can take out into anywhere and show these videos and do work in that way. So the Kenya government saw that come through. You know, I can't say a whole lot with being broadcast, but let's just say he had to pay to get that into country. So this is not an uncommon sight. It would be very uncommon here, but it's not uncommon there. During the course of a week or a 10-day trip, you'll see this maybe two or three times. Transporting something like this. I wish I could have took a video of this guy. If you know anything, if you've ever ridden a bicycle, you would know that you would not unbalance a load on a bicycle. I don't know what kind of dance he was doing on that motorcycle, but you could put any kind of tune to it you wanted. He was moving back and forth on that motorcycle to try to keep that up. But again, they're trying to survive. They're trying to do whatever they can do to be able to survive and make ends meet. So this is another common sight. These fellows will buy these, and that's a taxi. You know, in town, they'll offer you a taxi ride. You can ride anywhere in town you want to go. Again, another sight that's not too uncommon are cattle in the road. We were on what we would call a four-lane highway, and right in the median, underneath the bridge, there was some shade there, so a couple cows that were over there, and they were just laid down, resting. You know, whose cows are they? I don't know. When it's dinner time, they know where to go, I guess. And, of course, if somebody hits them, nobody owns it, or he's going to take responsibility. So that purple bag came from just across the other road from where this is. We went to a congregational visit, and I just kind of thought that was gives you an idea. When you get out of the town, there, this is what it looks like. And you'll have people set up all along, and they're selling whatever they make. There was a lady that makes these bags right here, and it's made out of the plastic strapping. And so she makes those, and she sells them, and that's how she makes her living, is making those bags. So it took me a few minutes to get everything lined up right there to take that picture. That looks like that come out of a magazine, but we were eating dinner right beside Lake Victoria. And I was able to line up the sun and that boat and the ray off of it all at the same time. So, the Kenya School of Preaching, just like I said, the Bear Valley Institute is together with the Charlotte Avenue congregation, and they put in the Kenya School of Preaching. So, this year they graduated 18 students. So, they're affiliated with over 120 baptisms already before they graduated, they're already affiliated with 120 baptisms. And that, you know, that doesn't count all the congregations that they helped to plant. So the question is, or the thought, you know, doing that all before they graduate, think of what they're going to do now. The people are receptive. If you stop and you talk to somebody, you can talk, you can, you know, it seems hard here. it seems difficult. You know, if you meet somebody along the street here, they'd think you's kind of weird if the only thing that you told them was to, you know, that Jesus Christ died for them and he established the church and he gave us an avenue so we can be free of sin. You know, I wouldn't feel a bit embarrassed or not embarrassed, that's not the word, but strange about pretty well talking to anybody in Kenya. I walked up to a guy that was bagging groceries, and we talked just for a second, and I started talking to him about the church. And there's another lady this time that was bagging groceries, and I invited her. And I'm not saying that because put a feather in my hat. What I'm saying is, it's just different. They're receptive. They want to know what God has to say about their life and what God wants them to do. So these men that are being trained as preachers here are doing an excellent work. Not just after they graduate, but because they're part of this program, they are able to have contact with a lot of people. And that's the class there. This is Charles Agutu. He's the director of the School of Preaching. And you see that Mike Reese is over here. And so that's the class there that graduated. So one of the students was from the Masai Mara, and this is his mother, and that's what this, I call it a shawl. I don't know exactly the right term for it, but they brought us one, and Dan's laughing because he probably knows that they made us dance. Me and Mike and Mike, it was a little tough traveling with three mics. But at any rate, me and Mike and Mike, and David, I'm not sure if he got one of the shawls, but we all got, and they wanted us to do their jump. You jump in place, and I suppose the goal is to jump as high as you can and see who can jump the highest. I'm not sure. But they videoed it, and we looked really, really funny doing it. But at any rate, it looks like National Geographic. You know, when you're there, it's something that the people here can only see in a magazine. He was from the Maasai, and he came and graduated that day from that two-year program. The picture with all his family there. Okay, so my main objective. For 2 years, I taught at the Kenya Christian Youth Camp, and I taught the teenage boys class. I had 100 kids the first year, and they split the class, and I had about 80 kids the next year. So I know that's not mathematically correct, but that's just how it works. The longer you're there, you're doing something, the more they come. So you're familiar with Craig Dutton. He taught the other half of the kids in 2019. So, but now I've migrated away from that, and I take care of building buildings. So in 2019, when I was there, we visited a congregation called Ndwara. And Ndwara was had this lot of ground already right here deeded to them. They have a latrine down there in the back of the property. We would call this an outhouse in America. They call it a latrine, I think, because it sounds better. So this is I lost it. I don't remember his name now. It's not Edward, but I'll think of it here in a minute. But at any rate, he is the preacher there, and. So we were looking at that building, and one of the reasons, I'll tell you here, hold on just a minute, that ended up being the building. So when we started with building with wood posts in the ground and then putting tin around it. And the problem we have with that is this, is termites. So it's cheaper to build with wood posts and then just put tin on it, and you have a building, you know, relatively inexpensive, and they get in out of the weather, and they are able to be safe while they worship. But we don't put wood in the ground anymore because the termites eat it up just about as fast as you can put it in the ground. So this is where they were worshiping, but this is where they worship now. We use, to build buildings, we use 2x4 metal studs and concrete, and the tin goes on the outside. The foundation is built in such a way that if they would like to remove that tin and have a stone building, then they're able to do that. But that puts them with an investment in the building. So if we just go in and we build a permanent structure 100%, then they don't have their part into the building, and we want them to be self-invested into the building. And so this building is constructed in such a way that the tin can be removed, and they can put their own stone in between the metal studs, and the foundation is built in such a way that it will hold up the weight of that building. So that just shows the two before metal studs there going up. So whenever they build the rafters, it's kind of interesting. If we were to build a rafter, we'd butt two boards together just like this, and then we put a board or a piece of metal on one side, and then a board and a piece of metal on the other side. But that's not how they do it. They cut it at an angle like that, and then they wrap a piece of strap metal all the way around it several times, and they'll nail all of that together to be able to make that board strong. So you can see the back of the building here has plenty of support in the structure and below the surface for a footer. This is Pamela. When I walked up to the Nadwara building, and I was talking to the preacher there, and there was a lady standing off to the side, and she was waving great big. And he said, "That's Pamela. She's been coming for a while, and she's going to be baptized." I said, "When is she going to be baptized?" He said, "I think tomorrow." I said, "Why not now?" Because the Bible tells me that now is the time of salvation. You know, we're not promised tomorrow. So I told him, I said, "We're not promised tomorrow. Ask her if she wants to be baptized today." And she agreed to that, and that day we gained a sister. Her name is Pamela, and I'm not 100% sure that I would get in that water, but she was willing to get in that water. If I needed to do it for salvation, I would too. But he baptized her that day, and that was just a good time then. All right, so we're going to move from the Dudwara to the Chwele Church of Christ and Orphanage. This is the preacher there. His name is Moses, and he is a graduate of the Kenya School of Preaching. He didn't intend to have an orphanage at the church. But what happened when COVID came and they all got scared is everything shut down, kind of like it did here. But some people abandoned their children because they couldn't feed them. So Moses ended up with a couple, three kids, and then he found some kids that were locked in a building. So he gained seven or eight at that time. He now has, the last count I had, 39 children. So we went to work there, and there's a couple of dorms for them, and the latest building that we built is for a kitchen and cafeteria. But of course, they're going to use it for anything that they can use it for. So it's just a 16 by 20 is what they requested for a building there. So Martin Agumbu is the contractor that we found that is in the church. So the first contractor that we had that did an Adora building was not in the church. And I didn't know in his estimate that it was underpaid, really. And the quality of the job showed that. I'm happy with the building. It's okay. It's structurally sound. They love it. It's a great safe place for them to be. It's just not square. And when I walk in and I see that, I'm just not going to use him anymore. So that's just how that is. But Martin is in the church. He is a contractor. He does super work. I was able to spend some time with him and get to know him a little bit better. I'll have a picture of him in just a minute. But he was the contractor on this job. That building cost right around $2,700. So it's not a very big building. This is the estimate that he sent to me, which is uncommon, really, when you get an estimate for a project, to have something that looks like this. Generally, you'll just get an email that has a list of stuff and a few prices. But he's a little more professional, which is what I'm looking for. So how does it work building buildings there? I have an app on my phone. It's called Wave. And within a matter of seconds, I can send money to Africa. And the problem with that is you can too. And if you would happen to get a request or something like that, then you need to run that by your elders. You need to contact me. And I'll contact Mike and make sure that everything is only up and up, and that we're doing with God's money what we should be doing. So, but with this app and with these receipts, what we do is we'll send money to start. They'll send some receipts for that money. Then we will send them some more money. They'll send receipts for that money, and we'll continue on just that way, so that we're sure that what's being sent over is being used for that project, and we have receipts for it to show where they spent those funds. So this is a video that I'm not going to play, but it's just he just walked around. That's one of the things that I require whenever they're building a project, is not only to show me the receipts of what they purchased, but I need to see pictures of the work that they did with the materials that they bought with that money. So these are some of the pictures that he sent to me as he was building the project. Again, not everything's going to be perfect. You know, when you're supervising a job from 5,000 miles away, not everything's going to turn out exactly like you like it, or maybe the way you thought it should be built. I really thought that building should have had, I told him I wanted two doors and three windows. Two windows on one side, two doors and a window on the other. I really thought he'd have put the window in the middle, but he didn't. He put the window on the end. Okay, well, it's all right. It's not worth changing, but it's just not what I had in my mind. And when I went over there, and I looked at it and I thought, oh, you know, this is okay. So sometimes you get in your mind what you think it ought to be like, and there's some cultural differences of things of that nature, of how they build things and how we build things that have to be worked through as we continue to go along. But Martin did a very good job on this building, and I'm very pleased with it. They're pleased with it. That's the orphans there. Difficult sometimes. See the pictures after you've been there. The lady outside is Moses' wife, and she does a good job working with the kids there. That's their daughter, and that's during a Bible study, and there isn't any room to set inside. We're working on getting a building for them. They have a piece of property right beside of the orphanage that is going to be donated, and we're working on a building for them. But at this time, they're using them. I put my picture in there just so you'd know that I didn't just go over there to take pictures. I actually did something while I was there. So that's all of them in there during worship. So two young men decided to obey the gospel that day while we were there. We were thankful for that and for their decision. Again, in water that I wouldn't just choose to go for a swim in. So you see here, Moses just graduated from the School of Preaching, and his wife and his mother, and very, very good family, very, very nice, and just like a family here. I talked to his mom a little bit, and we joked and laughed, and it was it's good to get to know them a little bit while you're there. So I told you there was a picture with Martin. That is Martin right here, our contractor. That was just after breakfast in the morning. So the reason this is kind of with the Chuele pictures is because I had him meet us that Sunday morning. And I told him that I would bring him back to the hotel with us, and he could spend the night there at the hotel. We got him a room at the Le Savannah, is the hotel we stay at, and he thoroughly enjoyed that. And he got up and had breakfast with us, and we went out and looked at some prospective projects and some things, and just to get to know him a little bit more. So this is Mike teaching Bible class there at the orphanage at Chuele. All of the orphans, there were supposed to be 39 of them, and so Mike, when he prepared for class, bought one of those box of 60 crayons, and there wasn't enough. So when they hear you're coming, They all want to be there and find out what you're doing and what you're teaching. This is a very good site at the Chuele Church of Christ and Orphanage. They have a water well that was just recently drilled about a month ago. So they were walking 3 miles each day to get water. Not only Moses and the ones that are taking care of the kids, but the kids go too. Whatever they can carry, they carry. So they have a water well there on site now that is producing good water. So let's move on now to the Luanda Church of Christ, and there's a school there. And this is a project I'm working on. There's a congregation that this place needs a lot of work, as the pictures you will see. The building is pretty well falling in, and they have gotten a water well drilled there. And again, that's a huge plus, but really that's about the only thing they have. They have some buildings that are falling in that need to be replaced, and we're working diligently to work on those. And there's a congregation that's going to set in here, and I think we're gonna get them some help and take care of the building needs that they have. One of the reasons, not only are the buildings falling in, but they don't have enough buildings. Because they have not only the church is there, but the school is there. And they have different school age grades in the same building. And you have two teachers in one room trying to teach two different groups of kids. It doesn't work very well. But you can see that this building was built with lumber and or post, and the termites just come in. And they'll just eat and leave a gap underneath the bottom of those posts, and they'll just leave a gap right underneath of it, and then the windstorm comes and blows the building over. This is another building that they use for a classroom. You can see back behind the building there. I took a picture of the fence line there. It's falling in, and again, that's another thing that's going to have to be addressed. Is they need a fence there and a gate as well. So this is their well, and again, they just got that drilled here a month or so ago, and very fortunate to have that. It's clear water, and that's a sign of good water for them. And I asked them if they had it tested, and I don't think they did, but they'll drink it, and it's good for them. Another picture of the well there. So as we just a few other pictures here, we're getting close on time, but you can't see or appreciate the picture here. Edward, our driver, he took me some places on that Thursday that I was there. We have a Toyota Highlander, which is supposed to be an SUV. He put that Camry in places I wouldn't put our Highlander. And I don't know how he did it, but he is just a super driver. But he just some places that we went back into with that car would just really blow your mind. He did a good job, and it was a very interesting trip. We walked about 3 miles that day. We got back in so far we couldn't drive anymore to the Wayera congregation, and we walked about 3 miles. This is Edward here. So that was our driver. You can kind of see back in the, I would call this Savannah, just because it sounds cool. I don't really know if that was Savannah or not. So when I got there, they wanted to refresh me, and me and Edward, and that's what we had. I call them jam sandwiches. They take two pieces of bread and jam them together, and they have jam sandwiches. But their tea, I don't like creamer in my coffee. I don't like milk in my tea either. But I learned to enjoy it, because if that's what they had, then that's what you drink, because you don't want to offend them. It's okay. You know, once you get used to a hot tea with milk, and then you just learn to drink it. But you can kind of see a little bit about how they live. You know, they have the chicken house here. I had no idea that I had a white Sussex rooster, but one went through, and I told Edward, I said, I have a rooster like that at home. He said, it's a white Sussex. Okay. But they gather their water in the tank and chicken house, and you can just kind of see how they live and how they have things and all the work that it would take to put this building together just out of stick and things that they gather up and wind it all together. And we would go to the hardware store and buy lumber and build a chicken house, but they're not, especially out where we were, it would take a lot of money even just to transport the wood to that place. This is their church building, and they're really not supposed to be worshiping in this church building because of during the rainy season, the ground, the water, something about the how the water flows in around this building, which is the reason they dug this ditch right here to keep the water away from it. The foundation is not good enough around this building, so the government or some authority come in and said, you're not allowed to be in this building. So they're not supposed to be in that building. What you see on the walls and probably on the floor is dung, which would be manure. And they'll mix that up with some water, and then they'll spread it out, and that stuff will harden up like concrete. You wouldn't believe it. They'll use it for floors. They'll use it for walls. They'll use it for a whole lot of things. This congregation here, that's where the building stood for the Laita congregation. Of course, the wood post rot off, and the wind came and tore that building down. And again, that's another project I'm working with. Another thing, I'm working with the deed on that property right now, trying to get that taken care of. One of the things we do before we build, and we require a couple of things, rather. We make sure that it is deeded to the Churches of Christ of Kenya, because we don't want it deeded in someone's personal name to be a responsibility that way, or a risk of being taken away or anything like that. So it's deeded in the Churches of Christ of Kenya before any building is done. Another thing that happens before we do any building, or when I go over to do an assessment like I've just done, I have a questionnaire form, and you're welcome to look at that questionnaire form. And it has on there of who the preacher is, where he went to school, did he graduate, what year, what size building would you like to have, how many members do you have, how many baptisms have you had in the past year. So that shows what size the congregation is, what direction are they going, what a little bit about their history, are they working, are they laboring, are they out teaching the gospel, and things of that nature. So we do that to assess of whether they need a building or whether they're ready to have a building. If we have a congregation that's just less than a year old and we don't see any growth, or you know, we're just not going to go in there and build them a new building. They're going to have some base underneath of them before we're going to help them with that. So this is Laita. This is where they worship now, underneath of that tree. So there's a couple concerns about that. One of the concerns is focus. When I went the first time and preached the first day that I got there, there was a chicken went through our worship service. And that's difficult for me. You know, we think of having distractions in here. Well, there's a cow mooing over here, and there's a chicken walking through. It caused a distraction. Maybe it doesn't to them, but it sure does me. But the safety aspect of not having a building is a big concern to them. They want to be inside where they're safe, just like we want to be inside here. So getting people to come to somewhere, you tell them that they need to be a member of the church, but yet the church doesn't have a building or doesn't have a place to meet. So it makes a challenge for them when they don't have a place to meet to be able to have them to come and to worship with them and learn in that way. This is a congregation that we built in 2018, the Ibitela congregation. And again, that is a dung floor. That is manure. And this is the last building that we built that has the wood framework. All right. So I hope that I've explained everything to the best of my ability. I do want to open it up for questions. If you have a question about the work there, about the people there, anything you want to ask about the trip, then I'd be happy to answer that if I could. Okay? Mm-hmm. She was able to speak a good bit of English. But Edward, the driver, he's able to speak both Swahili and English. So he translated most of the time for me. That was one of the benefits of having him as a driver. He's driven for a lot of people when they've gone over there. He's driven for Dan and just a lot of people that have gone to the school of preaching. Edward's kind of like a go-to guy because of his multi-facets, maybe we'll say, that he's able to translate and he knows all the areas and he's been to a lot of the churches. So that's Edward usually takes care of that. But it is different preaching with a translator. And again, when I preached the first sermon there at Ubitela, I had never, of course, never preached there before, but I'd never preached with a translator. So you can take about all the material that you would preach in a lesson and maybe cut it in half is about what I can get through, you know, preaching with a translator, because I'll say a sentence and the translator would say that sentence, and then you'd say another sentence, and then the translator would say another sentence, and it's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I have a hard enough time staying on task and staying focused that it's just difficult for me to preach with a translator, but God makes it happen. So, any other questions? Yes. So right now what we're looking at, a 30 by 40 building, is costing about $13,500. The building that we built at Nadwara, which the contractor, if you want to call him that, was underpaid. And again, I didn't know that. He charged me $900, not me, us, charged $900 to build that building. So that building was built for about $7,800. With the cost of material, and he didn't charge enough for his work. He probably charged enough for his work. He didn't charge enough to build the building. So we're looking at $13,500 to build a building that's 30 by 40, if that's what they need. Oh, go ahead. The orphanage is going to need a church building. That's the next step. They need a gate. There's a congregation that built a fence around it, because anytime you transfer a deed in Kenya, if you transfer a deed from one person to another, then you have to have a fence around that property. So there was a congregation that built a fence, but they couldn't at that time put a gate up. So they need a gate, and the property right beside them is being donated by Moses' brother. So the next thing that needs to happen at that place is that piece of property needs to be fenced and deeded into the church's name, and then a building needs to be built. Anybody else? All right. Are we going to have another song or anything before the invitation? Go ahead. All right. So the